Hi, hello. Welcome to another episode of Isaiah's Newsstand. It's your host, Isaiah Edwards. The date is April the 11th, 2024. Hopefully this episode finds you well in good spirits and high hopes. As for me, I'm doing pretty good. We're chilling. Let's see, work went well. It was a pretty easy day. No complaints. Let's see, food corner last night was burger, hot dogs, and fries, also with onion rings. It was very good. Actually, I had gotten some Hawaiian buns for the hamburger, and definitely was a good choice. Very yummy. Let's see here. Nothing else to really report on the personal stuff. I feel like we can just kind of go ahead and do the startup real quick and get into some news. Yeah, that sounds good. Sometimes we just zip right into it. Oh, yeah. That's the good stuff. Okay. Our first story comes from the Associated Press. South Korea's prime minister and top presidential officials offer to resign after election defeat. South Korea's prime minister and senior presidential officials offered to resign Thursday after their ruling party suffered a crushing defeat in a parliamentary elections in a blow to conservative president Yoon Suk Yeol. I think I got that name right. But yeah, Yoon Suk Yeol is the man I have pictured at the top of the thumbnail. I probably should have gotten Han Duck So in the photo. He is in this article. But I mean, if he's on his way out, you know, he might be yesterday's jam anyway. Who cares? But anyway, let's see. The results of Wednesday's elections mean the liberal opposition forces will prolong their control of parliament until after Yoon completes his single five-year term in 2027. That will likely set Yoon's domestic agenda and weaken his grip on the ruling party as he faces the opposition's intensifying political offensive during his remaining 3 years in office, experts say. I mean, obviously, this is good news to me. I'm not a Yoon enjoyer. I really wasn't a fan of, you know, his method of kind of using like anti-feminism and just like being like, hey, I'm going to buddy up with America. I'm going to be anti-North Korea. I'm going to like say all the things y'all like and you guys are going to vote me in. I didn't like that kind of politics. And, you know, I feel like he's not really delivering on the economic side. They mentioned the whole doctors crisis that they've been having right now in terms of doctors going on strike, protesting, where it's like he's saying, hey, you know, we are going to be forcing this initiative no matter what. That's going to happen. You can't stop it. That hasn't been looked at as so good, so great. So, I mean, yeah, you deserve the smoke, brother. You haven't, you know, been leading South Korea in a way that has made you, you know, admirable or someone that they want to, you know, elect again or continue to support. So I'm happy to see, you know, any kind of left-wing force, any kind of liberal, you know, opposition team up and get good numbers, you know. I mean, at least over here, we're happy to see it. Let's see here. I'm sure there's probably more I should be saying. I kind of just went into full rift mode. Excuse me. I feel like a burp is coming. There it was. With all the votes counted, the main opposition Democratic Party and its satellite party won a combined 175 seats in the 300-member National Assembly. Another small liberal opposition party obtained 12 seats under a proportional representation system, according to the National Election Commission. Yoon's People Power Party, that's cute, and its satellite party won 108 seats, the Election Commission said. So, not enough to really, you know, get the juice that you were looking for. And so, I mean, this leads to the prime minister, like, essentially I don't know if he was asked to, if this was just his personal ploy. I don't fucking know. You know, I don't know the behind the scenes there. But essentially, you know, he is going to fall on his sword, him and, you know, some of, you know, his fellow officials. I think outside of like some of the security type people are saying, hey, we're going to give our resignation. It's not been reported whether or not that's been accepted yet. So we'll see. Maybe this is just a symbolic move. I don't fucking know. But, I mean, yeah, essentially they're going to try to bite the bullet for this. And, you know, of course, you know, Yoon's going to continue on, but he's just not going to be effective. It's almost like the rest of your presidency, you're a lame duck, you know, like that's a term we use in American politics. Maybe they use that, you know, across the pond and other places too. I don't fucking know. Anyway, I feel like I've said what I wanted to say there. Yeah, we'll call that closed for now. Let's move on to Vietnam. Let's let this computer load up for me. I say computer. I run this off of a laptop. Let me not. I know some people are sticklers about that. It's not a PC. It's a laptop. I heard my coworker say that. I'm like, brother, what? Like, we're in maintenance right now. No one should care about that. But anyway, from the Associated Press. Vietnam sentences real estate tycoon Trong Mai Lan to death in its largest ever fraud case. Real estate tycoon Trong Mai Lan was sentenced Thursday to death by a court in Ho Chi Minh City in southern Vietnam in the country's largest financial fraud case ever, state media Vietnam Net said. The 67-year-old chair of the real estate company Van Tien Phat was formally charged with fraud amounting to $12.5 billion, nearly 3% of the country's 2022 GDP. So, I mean, that is a huge amount of money, but I think, like, definitely the average, like, you know, Western mind, or maybe you would even say the modern mind, is just like, well, but this is over money, right? This is a white-collar crime. You're sending someone to death? And it's like, yeah, they are. That's the thing. Now, I don't know if that's something that might be pulled back or if they really are just truly going to make an example of Mai Lan and it's just that's just the way that this is going to be. But it also might be a chance to try to get some of the money that she has that, you know, they can't get back, they can't recover. And it's like, well, maybe we can kind of, you know, put the screws to you or maybe even some of your, like, subordinates or something like that. Let's see here. Lan illegally controlled Saigon Joint Stock Commercial Bank between 2012 and 2022 and allowed 2,500 loans that resulted in losses of $27 billion to the bank, reported state media VN Express. The court asked her to compensate the bank $26.9 million. Let's see here. Despite mitigating circumstances, this was the first time offense and Lan participated in charity activities. I mean, like, that fucking matters. Like, oh, well, she was like, you know, this is her first time offense of stealing over $12 billion. It's her first time doing this. And, you know, she was just giving out turkeys for Thanksgiving. I know that's just something I kind of feel like that we always talk about in, like, America, like, oh, well, they were a gangster and da-da-da-da, but, you know, they did give out turkeys for Thanksgiving, they gave out the hams for Christmas, and it's like, I mean, yeah, but they killed people and shit, so, you know, they weren't really good people. It's just, you kind of did that to kind of do the karmic balancing. Let's see here. And also, it just makes you look good. Like, I mean, the charity makes you look good. Turkeys on Thanksgiving? Yeah, you're a fucking king of the street. Yeah, just let's see here. What else did I want to pull? Let's read a little further. Her niece, Trong Hu Van, the chief executive of Van Tien Phat, was sentenced to 17 years in prison for aiding her aunt. Lan and her family established the VTP, I'm just going to abbreviate it now, company in 1992. After Vietnam shed its state-run economy in favor of a more market-oriented approach that was open to foreigners, she started out helping her mother, a Chinese businesswoman, to sell cosmetics in Ho Chi Minh City, in Ho Chi Minh City's oldest market, according to state media Tin Fong. VTP would grow to become one of Vietnam's richest real estate firms, with projects including luxury residential buildings, offices, hotels, and shopping centers. This made her a key player in the country's financial industry. She orchestrated the 2011 merger of the beleaguered SCB Bank with two other lenders in coordination with Vietnam's Central Bank. And with this merger, she's like, okay, cool. Now I can start funneling money to myself via these loans. And obviously, that's not okay. That's not ethical. That's not good. The court found that she used this approach to tap SCB for cash. She indirectly owned more than 90% of the bank, a charge she denied, and approved thousands of loans to ghost companies, according to government documents. These loans then found their way back to her, state media VN Express reported, citing court filings. And of course, here comes the bribery. She bribed officials to cover her tracks. Former Central Bank official Du Thai Nhan was sentenced Thursday to life in prison for accepting $5.2 million in bribes. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm very curious if they're actually going to go through with it. Like, I mean, hey, you're going to do what you're going to do. You put a period on the sentence, you're going to follow it up. But I mean, I will definitely be here to cover that if there's any kind of deviation from this sentence or not. But definitely interesting. It definitely caught my attention. We definitely run crimes a little bit differently here in America or in the West as opposed to maybe somewhere in Vietnam. And you know what I mean? I found it interesting nonetheless. I was really thinking, I was like, imagine if we put Sam Bankman-Fried in the situation. Like, how would that go? That guy could not handle fucking, what was it, Bohemian jail. He was fucked there. Like, he's like, no, I'll go to America, please. Send me to Rikers. So, yeah, ooh. We did not put him to the firing squad, though. You know, he has no more future. Oh, so sorry. He's gonna be eating peanut butter sandwiches for life now. Anyway, let me move on. Let's talk sports. You know, I'm such a sports guy. Y'all know this is really a sports podcast, and there's just so much sports news. Let's get into this from Los Angeles Times. Shohei Ohtani's ex. Interpreter charged with stealing $16 million from Dodger star. That's right. You know me. We're doing an update on some. The plot has really thickened. Let's chop it up because I have things to say. Federal prosecutors have charged Ippi. I've known how to pronounce his name, but now I don't. Ippi Muzuhara, the since fired interpreter of Shohei Ohtani, with stealing more than $16 million from the Dodgers superstar to pay debts with an allegedly illegal bookmaker. The U.S. Attorney for the Central District of California, E. Martin Estrada, announced the charge Thursday at a news conference in downtown Los Angeles. Mr. Ohtani is considered a victim in this case. And I feel like that's very important because that is the surface narrative that has been running the entire time. But something that I feel like I personally really didn't say too much in the beginning at first blush here because, hey, I'm just now kind of taking this information. You know, I did mention, though, that it's like, hey, you know, these guys kind of came up, you know, in the beginning, like their early, you know, budding parts of their careers. You know, him doing the interpreting him, you know, being a baseballer, Ohtani. And this kind of grew into a friendship. And it seems like they were still friends despite all of this. Like, despite, hey, you allegedly taking money from me, you know, without my permission, but then lying, because that's essentially, you know, what this article kind of goes into the details of, saying, hey, you initially told people to say, hey, this is the line. And then when we actually press you, oh, no, Shohei never knew about this. He wasn't privy to this at all. He, like, the bookie was getting the shit, and it was Mizuhara saying it was in Ohtani's name. So we have now this controversy, but yet you guys are still hanging out? Like, And I'm thinking to myself, am I supposed to say, like, you know, as I'm kind of closing out last time we talked about this, what's $16 million between friends, I guess we can still schmooze. Your wife knows my wife. You know, we've done double dates. I can't just get rid of you like that. No, no. But, I mean, this is a guy who has a $700 million contract. So who am I to say what's $16 million to this man? But when I started talking to my friends, because I immediately, like, you know, my spider senses tingled, right? Like, I did the thing where I'm like, did I just kind of read the kind of Fed line here? Let me talk to some sports guys. Let me talk to some real hitters, people who actually watch this shit. And immediately they're telling me, like, yeah, dude, like, it's probably him who's gambling. Like, and it's probably everyone who's trying to cover for this guy, because he is the golden boy of not just, like, the MLB right now, you know, not just baseball, but also, like, Japan. So, like, if he has a gambling addiction, or if he is just a big old gambler, because, once again, you know, yeah, he's spending a lot of money, but maybe this is just something for him to do. It's a hobby. Once again, $16 million to a guy who has that much money. Who gives a shit, right? I remember, like, the first time I learned about how Michael Jordan gambled, and then learned, once again, what is his fucking salary? Like, yeah, he can do whatever the fuck he wants with that money to me. It's not, like, you can call it an addiction, you can call it a hobby. Like, I don't know. But in this situation, you can't gamble if you're Ohtani. It's illegal. If you do that, then, you know, that's a big no-no. You know, Pete Rose did that, and it was a whole controversy, and that's why he's not in the Hall of Fame. That was another guy who got brought up when I was doing my, a little bit of my personal sleuthing, asking my friends, and you know, because, you know, I'm from Ohio, so that's a very touchy subject. So, yeah, I mean, this is a big row, and it looks like the narrative is going to be, hey, Mizuhara did this. He did it of his own accord. This was not a group activity. Ohtani did not know. He is the victim of this story. And I mean, hey, I don't know. I mean, if that's what it is, that's what it is. I'm not going to sit there and say it's not that. That's why I definitely didn't want to cover it that way. And I'm also very gullible. I bought that. I was like, okay, cool. I believe it, you know. Because, you know, you could believe that. I've seen crazy managers. I've seen, you know, I could imagine a, you know, crazy interpreter with a gambling addiction. But what if it wasn't that? What if this was, what was if it is a, you know, a Sonic and Tails situation? Who knows? I don't know. So, you know, I wanted to talk about it. I went full riff mode. I didn't fuck with the details. You know me. You know my style. But yeah, Los Angeles Times, if you want to read that, hopefully you don't get paywalled. But yeah, we have one more thing I wanted to cover before I let you go. We shouldn't be burning one for this guy. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's okay. I think that's problematic. So I'm not going to. We're going to take this break for us, okay? We aren't really giving flowers. But we have some breaking news. Technically, the Shohei Ohtani thing I just picked up before I went on. But, you know, this is also breaking news as well. So let's go ahead and talk about it. But yeah, we're going to get into some juice. But let me go ahead and take my last break. All right. From ABC News. O.J. Simpson, former football player or former football star, acquitted of murder, dies at 76. So, I mean, this is a technical rest and piss, and I'm not a defender of O.J. Simpson. I gotta say that, but it is one of those things where, like, I guess I've learned so much through the moment that was the O.J. Simpson trial that, like, O.J. Simpson as a character, as a black man, like, It hits me in a certain kind of way. And I realized, like, I had a very distorted view learning about this on Onset. But at the same time, I understand how he gets off because of that. Because I am a black man. And, like, looking at the history of, like, things that happened in that time. And I know, at the end of the day, this is supposed to be an article about, you know, OJ dying of cancer. He died at 76. Of course, what he was acquitted for. O.J. Simpson, the former football great who was accused of and ultimately acquitted of the brutal 1994 slayings of his ex-wife and her friend. he did that shit, by the way. I will admit this, for part of my young life, you know, kind of taking in the narrative, I was like, oh, well, I mean, the jury's, you know, I mean, sure, maybe he did do it, maybe he didn't. I was like, I don't know, maybe. But then I quickly learned as I got older, I was like, oh, looking at the evidence, looking at what happened, yeah, he did that shit. This dude was a crazy person. He was not okay. And then also, I don't even really think you have to look at the history. You kind of just see him, you know, post all that shit, you know, making that book, If I Did It. Like, bro, what are you doing? That's terrible. That is macabre, the kind of shit you're trying to pull off here. I do remember watching, finally, the little docu-series thing that they did. I forget what channel or whatever. I wound up watching it on Hulu. But that was really good. But I will tell you, once again, kind of going back to the trial, just seeing Johnny Cochran, like, because that was, like, one of the first trials I remember, like, watching clips of as a teenager. And just being so enthralled by, like, just how the whole process worked, what money could really buy you in terms of a legal team like this. And then Johnny Cochran's just individual story. Very interesting. But the fact that he was able to hit these certain kind of nerves and see, hey, I can see where society's at. I can get this jury to understand how this is actually not a murder case or anything. This is a matter of race. And he fucking did that shit. If the glove does not fit, you must acquit. And I remember watching that shit and I'm looking like, look, he's got a fucking glove on. Like, he's got a little surgical glove on. He's got the isotoner or whatever the fucking glove is that he's got to put on. Apparently, it had shrunk because they had to wash it or whatever. But, like, even shrinkage aside, you watch him put the glove on and you see him do the smirk. And, like, it doesn't fit. Oh, look, it doesn't even get all the way down my palm. It's like, I'm literally, like, seeing this shit and going, like, just yank it down. Just yank it down. But, like, once again, when you look at the narrative that gets put up, and then you actually see, hey, there's literally a racist cop on the goddamn force here. And it's like, well, maybe, maybe not. Maybe the killer is out there. Maybe. And it's like, no, bro. It was, the killer was in the white Bronco, okay? The killer... And that's another thing, too. I was thinking about this as I was, you know, queuing this up. Like, imagine you're the detectives and everything. Like, you probably figure this case out pretty fucking quickly. Like, within probably days. This is OJ. This is OJ Simpson. This is OJ Simpson, the guy who is a famous football player. Like, you know, a famous football player who then gets a Hertz commercial. He blows up. He then gets into, you know, acting and all this fucking shit. He's in fucking Naked Gun. That's an iconic ass fucking movie. So we're going to say that this guy just went on a murderous rampage and just killed two people. Like, that's this guy. That, like, ooh, we are not going to look at the good guys in this story. But they were right. You know, he definitely did that shit. And, it's really unfortunate. It's really sad. Sad for, you know, obviously the victims, but then also the victims' families, you know, to have to go through this shit. And then to also see something like this where it's like, and I should get their names, Nicole Brown Simpson and her friend Ron Goldman, you know, like, you get to see their story, their end days get turned into a complete spectacle that it shouldn't have been. You know what I mean? And once again, it shows that, man, you know, justice, huh? What a fucking joke. But it also is a shame that it's like, I mean, you understand how you hit these kind of buttons. Like, John Cochran hits these notes, and I go, oh, yeah, no, I get it. Like, we had Rodney King before this shit. You guys treated a black man like he was a goddamn pinata. Y'all motherfuckers don't give a fuck about us. You would just throw any kind of murder on us. You don't give a goddamn. And people didn't want another fucking Watts riot situation. That's a whole other thing I'm not going to try to take you on an education thing on if you don't know. Go ahead and Google that. You know, people didn't want another fucking bad black mark, you know, in L.A., you know, or whatever. We didn't want to see anything like that. So we just said maybe, you know, and the jury said, okay, maybe not guilty. but, you know, if you know the OJ lore, I know this is pretty long for an obit. I'm kind of waxing here. But in some kind of ways, he did get his. He got the civil lawsuit. They did find him liable in that regard, not criminally, but at least, you know, a big financial thing he had to pay. But granted, he went most of his life and only paid a fraction of it. Then there was him, you know, stealing his memorabilia back. That was a whole fucking thing that he got jail time for. So, yeah, I mean, OJ, you know him, you love him, you hate him. You love to make fucking fun of him, that's for goddamn sure. But yeah, also, I'm gonna close out here too, just talking about cancer. It seems like, I don't know what kind of cancer he got. Rumor has it that it was prostate. Why is that such a thing? Like, is it bad to say that, like, booty hole cancer is what got you for men? I don't know, I'm asking as a man, I don't really know. I always thought, like, breast cancer for men was the thing. Like, that was the thing that we had to be, like, the brave ones about. But, like, I mean, if Prince Charles, I'm sorry. If the king himself cannot say his prostate is in jeopardy and riddled with cancer, then who can? You know, why is that not a safe thing? I don't know. That seems strange. If I get prostate cancer, then I'm going to tell you guys, hey, I got prostate cancer. I ain't got long. I'll be gone to November. I don't know. I just felt like singing that. Okay, I'm done. That's it. I've talked too long. Okay. If you'd like to help out, support the effort, if you'd like to buy me a Bronco, I have Patreon. Patreon.com/Zan News. Help out, support the effort. We need more newsies. let's see here. Three ways to hit me up. IsaiahNews1@gmail.com. And then free ways to hit me up, find me on the socials, follow me, follow the podcast there. Let's see, subscribe to the YouTube. We love getting more subscribers. It really helps out a lot. And hit that like button, leave a cool, quirky comment. Sharing is caring. All the reviews, all the stars are great. And hopefully I see you soon for some more good news. I love you. Bye-bye. Mwah.